Welcome to the Advisor Arena Podcast with your hosts Jamie Malm and Josh Watson. This show is designed to share ideas and help you gain insight from some of your most successful peers. We will discuss industry news, hot topics, and challenges you may face, as well as give you some possible solutions. Thanks for joining us today. Let's get started.
Welcome, everybody. Another episode of the Advisor Arena Podcast. I'm Jamie Malm, and I'm here with Josh Watson. Hi, Josh.
Hello. Great to be here today. Exciting episode on tap here.
Yep. Last time we talked about the summit and all of the exciting things that we rolled out at summit. We're going to deviate that from that, but not far, because at the summit every year, we hold our roundtable event. And the roundtable is our top advisors. You've got to qualify to go to roundtable. And the idea behind that is you're all learning a ton of lessons every day, every week, every month, and we want to share those. So I think there are certain conversations that really stick with you. Some of the roundtable events that I've been to in the past, those are the things that have resonated most with me as an advisor and a marketer. But the feeling I get from those meetings is that nobody's really trying to impress anybody. You know, they're there with their peers. They're not pitching anything. They're not trying to convince you that something works. It's just our uber successful advisors being really honest and real about what's working and what's not, and trying to get feedback from others on how they can improve. And I just remember thinking, like, we've got to get this out to more people so they can take advantage of this.
I felt the same way. It was really refreshing. You could tell people were comfortable enough to say, like, here's where I screwed this up, or here's what I wish I would have done sooner. And that's really where the real learning begins. So it's not like, hey, here's this great idea necessarily. It's, hey, here's this idea I tried and here's how I screwed it up. So don't do that, which was really refreshing. Right. So today is really us just kind of pulling that all in together, kind of like we did with our advisors, pulling them all into a room and just sharing what stood out.
One of the things that I noticed people wanted a lot of feedback on this year was overcoming some of the issues they've had with virtual appointments and lead vendors, kind of trying to work through some of these new opportunities that have popped up. Like, if you're on, I don't know what your algorithm looks like, but as an advisor, mine is full of things like Apex and Jetpack and Smart Asset and Dave Ramsey leads and all these opportunities that look great, but it might be that you're not working right there in your local area. It might mean that in order to take advantage of some of those programs, you're branching out a little bit, which means virtual appointments, and you've really got to be on those right away, which I think people know, but they don't quite know, like, how important that sense of urgency is and what others are doing to make that work.
I think that's one thing that a lot of advisors still underestimate is they think, oh, I'll call them later today or I'll call them tomorrow, which they think's fine. It's not fine, right? So that prospect, if you're using like Smart Asset, they could already be talking to three other people. And usually whoever makes them feel seen first is the one that's going to win. So it was all about speed. Over and over, we heard that the fastest advisor usually wins. One guy walked us through his process. So when a lead comes in, especially from Dave Ramsey or like SmartVestor, he immediately gets a short personal video over to them. Not a like generic template. It's his voice, his face. He thanks him for reaching out. He says that he looks forward to connecting. That's automatic. So that's right when he gets the lead. And so it doesn't have to be, you know, he doesn't wait to send that. He sends that right away. So within minutes, his team's following up by phone, by email. So he's all over him. So it's all about speed with those leads.
One of the questions we got was, what if you're in the middle of something and you're in an appointment and how are you handling that? And he was like, oh, I'm not personally clicking the button to send it. Like, I'm not waiting until I see the lead. Oh, I got a text. I got an email. Let me go in. Let me go initiate that. He has the tool set up where it's automatic. A lead comes in, that video goes out. He's got it on a schedule. He's rotating through texts and emails and phone calls. They're getting information and content that is specific to them, that's specific to him. So by the time most advisors are getting around to it, he's already building a relationship. He's already started building credibility and showing how he differs from everybody else. And it happens every single time without fail, because it's not getting bottlenecked or stuck with his availability or what he's doing right then when that lead comes in.
And that's the other thing that goes hand in hand with this is delegation. So a lot of these top advisors, they finally accepted, like, hey, I'm not the best person to run my marketing, my scheduling, my follow-up. One advisor said the day he stopped trying to do marketing himself was the day his business took off. And it's not because he became lazy. It's more because he got back out to doing what he did best, which is meeting with people.
Yeah. And I think that's a hard thing to let go of for some of us. We think, well, I want to have all the control over when it gets sent, what it gets sent, what's the communication, but do that up front and then automate it. So delegation can mean different things for different offices. It might mean that you have an automated follow-up system like this advisor shared. He doesn't have somebody that he hired to sit in his office to handle marketing, but there are vendors, there are software programs. Maybe you do want to hire somebody in your office. Maybe it's going to be a combo of the two. I think one of the systems that was mentioned as a favorite was PageSport. So if you're not familiar with PageSport, that got a lot of interest. You can automate the follow-up process on leads, set your sequency, but lots of good information that was shared on some of these little behind the scenes. Okay, yeah, I know I'm supposed to be fast. Yeah, I know I'm supposed to be first. I know I should probably do something other than just call, but what are you actually doing and what are the results of that?
Right. You're exactly right. Another big theme was how intentional they are about referrals. So yeah, we've got advisors, they're doing 7-8 client events a year, and nothing fancy, not like galas, but just normal stuff, tacos, ice cream, baseball game events, like The Price is Right, music bingo. So those have been a big theme.
Yeah, The Price is Right trademark. So we're laughing that ours is called Name That Price. But that was a favorite. And we immediately took that content that was shared at the roundtable, came back, Luson Media put everything that our advisors would need to go run an event like that. It's packaged, it's ready to go to host your own event. And think about what a fun, interactive night that would be, as opposed to, like, nothing wrong with wine and cheese. We've all done those. I've done those, but it's more of a, you know, everybody's just kind of sitting around, you're drinking, maybe you're having some conversations, you're sampling hors d'oeuvres, but it's a totally different dynamic than when I did like music bingo and people are standing up out of their chairs, you know, screaming bingo. They're running up to the front to go get their prize. There's ties where they're, you know, facing off the front. People were energetic. They were excited. I think everybody, you know, was hugging me before they left. Like, that was so much fun. That's the kind of events that they were talking about. How do you do something that's really memorable that they want to bring referrals to? And then make sure you're doing it consistently, that you are really clear and set the expectation that friends are welcome, because you want those referrals really baked into your culture. And then when you have 50 people, 75 people showing up to multiple events a year, that really starts to compound fast. And maybe yours is half that. Think about the introductions that you're getting and how you're tying people in with just being consistent with your events.
Yeah. And those events, I mean, really, they tie you into your community. They tie into your branding. We saw multiple examples where advisors were really clear about who they serve and how they show up locally. And then those education focused offices really stuck with me as well. So one advisor said, my office is basically a classroom. any minute. Yeah. So they host lunch and learns, Roth workshops, cybersecurity nights. You can set up with FMT, which is one of our vendors, for classroom style events, if you want a more structured process. So those are great, because by the time someone ever becomes, you know, a client, they already trust you because you've educated them. You've spent some time with them. So they feel comfortable walking in the door, and the closing ratio has gone way up with those events.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions on this too, because the logistics of how are you actually carrying that out? So I know one couple shared that they are holding these every month in their office. They send emails out to their current clients on what the topic is. They make follow-up calls on what the topic is. They bring in box lunches into the office. So their plan is to have maybe 10 people at each little short lunch and learn workshop. So you're not trying, it's not like a seminar, right? You're not trying to fill the room with 50 people. And then the follow-up questions were, okay, well, tell me more about the topics. Like, where are you getting the content? Gradient obviously has a ton of content. You're not going to have a shortage of material, but some of the supporting things that were mentioned would be like Stonewood, their Roth Done Right program. Excellent. We got a lot of really good feedback from advisors saying they're using that. With cybersecurity nights, they were bringing in like local experts, police force, FBI agents. That goes a long way to provide something that they don't get access to anywhere else. And then you already mentioned the FMT. That's already structured with classroom style events and content to material. So if you feel like I'm kind of overwhelmed with how to set that up myself, that would be kind of a done for you option. But I agree, people had a lot of questions on, well, yeah, I do those, or I want to do those, or I've tried a few in the past, but how are you actually structuring that to be consistent and inviting and getting people there? So not as hard as you think. It's just having a process then that you follow. The other thing I think that really resonated with people was client onboarding, because this seems to be the general feedback of that's where loyalty was created. What does the first 90 days look like? What is your exact process? And I think everybody shared, we've got premium binders, right? We look the part, we've got clear steps, expectations are outlined. They know who to contact on the team. They know who the team members are. They know how to log in to their vault and to their accounts. Basically, they know exactly what happens next and there's no confusion. After we got home, I got several emails saying, hey, somebody shared their process. I think they called it the client bill of rights, which I've seen similar things before. Lots of you probably have something similar. And the feedback from Roundtable was many have seen it. Maybe they've tried it in the past, but like those things where we think, well, that was such a good idea, I stopped using it. Very few were actually using it in their practice. So really good feedback on outline your process, provide that in a written document, know exactly, or make sure they know exactly what to expect when they're coming on board and they become your client.
Exactly. Yep. And the more you can be upfront with somebody, the more comfortable they're going to feel. So that was a big theme. The other one that got me was the gifting. The gifting was impressive that a lot of our advisors do. So it's not just cheap swag, right? It's thoughtful, memorable stuff. One vendor that was mentioned was lupintie.com. Mm-hmm. And Gradient just launched a vendor as well to handle anything our advisors need, called CCB Imprint. But just some ideas. Solo stoves with s'mores kits were a hit. Cookies delivered within an hour of policy delivery, right? So got that from Rami. Birthday calls, or they pay for a client's favorite meal. So those aren't marketing gimmicks per se, they're relationship building. And so when you do that consistently, clients become advocates, not just customers. And then you also start to see even more referrals.
Gifts can be really fun, right? There's so many ways that you can be creative, you can be personal, but you've got to think about what feels manageable for long term. You don't want to start something and then fall off, right? So you don't have to do every occasion, every holiday, but pick one, pick two, stay consistent with it and think about, you know, how you want to start implementing that. Maybe it's, you're just going to do it for your A clients at first. Maybe it's your A and B clients. Maybe you're going to start doing it with your new clients, but those are always ideas that I think get the most questions and the most feedback. Well, when do you send it and where are you ordering? So having a vendor that's just like, hey, this is my go-to. Here's a couple that we use. You mentioned Loop and Tie and then CCB. That can really simplify things too. When we started talking about the podcast, we said not only were the good ideas shared, but also, hey, here's some things that didn't work for me or things that I would do differently. One of the things that we asked them was, if you had to start over, what would you do differently? And the number one unanimous decision was, I would not skip establishing clear processes and procedures immediately.
Hey, that's a good one. Very timely for me, that's for sure. So love that. The other one, which wasn't very exciting, but don't skip it. Some of the other mistakes that they shared were just being brutally clear on who you serve, and say no to the rest. So you can't serve everyone. They'd hire early, focus on foundation, like you just discussed, and marketing consistently, and securing access to capital, which was kind of a new one to me. That way they can be more proactive with their marketing.
Yeah, I think this is one of the only businesses where people come into it and think, I can start a business but not have any capital, right? And so it was like, don't be scared of investing into your practice early. You have to have a way to keep the pipeline full of prospects, and then it starts feeding itself. But you've got to have capital to start any business. And so if I had to sum it up, I would say this: the advisors that felt like they were really winning, they were reaching their goals, their business was on track, they weren't doing more. They weren't continually adding to their plate. They were doing fewer things, but they were doing them extremely well. They had figured out, what is my kind of talent, treasure, time? How do I coordinate those three things for me? They follow up fast. They delegate, they care about the client experience, they built systems for either themselves or their team to follow, and they stick to them. Those are keys for me.
And if you're listening and thinking, you know, there are two or three things, you know, I know I need to fix, that's normal, right? So you don't want to try and overhaul everything, pick one area, improve it this quarter, then move to the next area the next quarter.
Yep. Figure out your plan and one step at a time. If you want help doing that, that's why we're here. You can call us. You can email us. We don't just talk about this stuff. We really do help you implement it.
That's right. We definitely want to help you implement, here to help. And thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, everybody. We will be back next week. And as always, we appreciate you.